It's an honor to be here again with each of you. This is my third service. What a blessing. Again, my name is Corey Nichols, and I work for an organization called Destiny Rescue. We free children from sexual slavery. Before I get into that, though, I really feel in my heart to really pray for Pastor Mark and Sherry. These are your leaders of your church, and for whatever reason, if you all would just extend your hand to them, I want to pray a special blessing over them before I get started. Heavenly Father, I pray for Mark, Pastor Mark and Sherry, Father, as they lead Calvary Chapel Anaheim. I pray, God, that you infuse in them the courage and strength to go on each day. Holy Spirit, give them a new, fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, that they would continue the work that you've began in them. Father, you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And I pray, God, that their latter days would be greater than their former days, and that they would be able to accomplish every good work you've called and destined them to do. So, Father, rejuvenate their spirits. Give them the courage and strength to get up, to keep moving forward, and to produce, to do all that you want them to do. And may they live out their God-given destiny and purpose in you. Father, so we commit them to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. You know what? It's good to pray for your leaders. It's good to pray for people that are constantly pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. You know, they're people just like you and me. We need prayer too. You know, we're a lot of times on the front lines just pouring into people, but we need prayer. And so I pray if you're already and continue to pray for your pastors, do it. If you're not, I pray that you just continue to do. You know, they have a lot of challenges on them to make decisions that's best for the flock and to hear God's voice. And so you can never pray enough for your pastors. So thank you again for bringing me here. Thank you for allowing me to share about the issue of human trafficking. It's an issue that many people are starting to hear about. There's movies starting to be made about it. But I think a lot of people don't fully understand what the issue of human trafficking is, and more specifically, child sexual slavery. And that's what Destiny Rescue does. We free children from sexual slavery. Before I get started, you have to understand why I'm involved in this issue. It goes back into my early days of growing up. So I'm going to share a little bit about my story, my own journey, and then I'm going to weave that into why I got involved with the issue of human trafficking and then Destiny Rescue specifically. But I want to start today by saying you were born for a purpose. If you're breathing today, God has purpose for you while you exist on this earth. He wants you to bear much fruit. He wants you to hear his voice and be in relationship with him and ultimately get busy doing what he's asking, called you to do. You're not put on this earth by happenstance or just by some metabolic soup that just all of a sudden you just came out of nothing. No, God spoke you into being. The Bible says that in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future." And he said to Jeremiah, "I knew you in your mother's womb before you were even formed, before you were formed in your mother's womb." God knew about you well before you were even on this planet. And he has purpose for you. And he chose you to come into existence in this time frame for such a time as this. Do you know your purpose today? Do you know why God's called you to be here? If you don't, begin to pray and ask him. He wants to show that to you. He doesn't want it to be a mystery for a long time. He wants you to understand that. And part of that is just seeking him. The Bible says you'll find him when you seek him with all of your heart. Not a part of your heart, all of your heart. So Joseph was a man in the Bible that God put a dream in his heart when he was a young man. I believe it was 17 years old. That God gave him a dream that one day he would be an influential person. He'd be in leadership. And he would be in a prominent position to lead and guide people. Well, shortly after he had that dream, he began to share it with his family. Probably a mistake to do that. But his brothers became very jealous of him. And in becoming jealous of him, they one day plotted to kill him. And they said, you know, that's probably not the best idea, so we're going to throw him into a pit and sell him into slavery. For 13 years, he was in bondage. 13 years. He was never to see his family again that he knew of. That's crazy. Can you imagine one day you go missing by your own family members, hoping things would change, but day after day, your situation continues to stay the same? But the Bible says that God was with Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house, serving as a slave servant. And that when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of rape, he was thrown into prison. The Bible says that God was with him there. God didn't remove the obstacles and the challenges in his life. The Bible says that he was with him through it, because God has purpose in our trials. And even the challenges and even the evil things that happen to us, God can turn all things around for great good if we'll let him. He will. And one day, Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph gets summoned out of prison and says that he was able to interpret dreams. And Pharaoh appointed him to be second in command of all of Egypt. And 7 more years go by of plenty before the famine hit. 7 years of famine. And in that 7 years, at some point, his brothers come to Egypt. And they meet Joseph. And Joseph, the Bible says, he remembered his dream and the pain that he had endured for so many years. But this is what he said to his brothers. It was not you who sent me here. God sent me ahead of you to deliver you. To preserve our family and our lineage, ultimately the lineage of Christ. And he's done that to save Egypt from this horrific famine and all of the land. Could it be that God wants to use you and your tragedy, your situation, when he heals you and brings you to a place of strength, that your situation can be a lifeline of hope to somebody else enduring the same horrific circumstances? That's what God wants from you and me. He wants us to see in light of his grace and his power at work in us and trust him when life doesn't make sense. So one day when God pulls us out of the miry clay, we can offer hope to people that need it in our generation. And that was the story of Joseph. Well, I had a dream in my heart. God put things into my heart when I was very young. I remember as a freshman in high school, there were kids. I was in this one class that had all kinds of upperclassmen. I was a freshman. There was a couple other freshmen, but there were many older upperclassmen in this specific class. And I had grown up with this one girl in elementary school, and then into middle school, and then high school. And she was a misfit. She was overweight. She had body odor that she didn't really take care of well. I don't know all the situations behind why she didn't groom herself well, but she had issues. She had a story of why that happened. Well, one day in this class, 2 of the star basketball players, they were sophomores, but they played varsity, decided that it was their turn to pick on her. And so they started making fun of this girl to the point where she started weeping and weeping. And something rose up inside of me. I was a freshman. I was, I think, 15 years old. And I was 5'3" and 95 pounds. I was screaming demon dynamite. Not really. But, and I was like, but something rose up in me that's not okay. And I went up to those gentlemen. I said, look, did you see that you just made her cry? That's not okay. And I'm going to ask you to stop. And to my amazement, they stopped. God wants you and me, when we see injustice in our world, when we see kids that are being bullied, that we're willing to stand up for them, not join the club against them. God wants us to be people that are willing when we see a down and outer on the street or in our family or whatever, instead of kicking them to the curb because you deserve it, that we're hands of mercy and compassion and grace. The grace of Jesus Christ, the aroma and the fragrance of God to this world that needs to know that there's a living God in heaven that has made his home and residence in the hearts of his people. That they can see that there's a living God alive and well on planet Earth. They won't see it if the body of Christ is not willing to stand up for injustice. So I'm asking you today, is God stirring your heart to get involved in some situations that you've been running from? That you're sweeping under the rug or you're afraid to face because it makes you uncomfortable. Maybe some family situation, some unforgiveness that needs to happen so that God can redeem those relationships and those lives. I know what it's like. I've had family members not talk to other family members for 5 years. 5 years of wasted time because they did not see in light of the forgiveness that had come to them. Another time when I was in elementary school, I would daydream, I don't know why, but I would daydream about being born back in the 15, 16, 17, 1800s, that I would have been part of ending slavery in America. And I kept saying, why am I born in this generation? Why not back then? I wanted to stand up for people and say, you know what? It's not okay in our generation, in this country, that you're judging people based off the color of their skin when they have been created in the image of Almighty God and they have intrinsic value because He created them with purpose. It resonated inside of me. And so God put that seed there. The Bible says in Psalms 82, 3 through 4, give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. That's God's word. That's God's heart. You can see that that theme runs throughout the whole Bible, that God wants us to help people. That's Jesus' ministry. He's going to prostitutes. He's going to adulterers. He's going to people that are broken, that need to know that there's a God that can redeem lives and our brokenness and our trash and turn it into something beautiful. I love that God's called the author and the finisher of our faith, because He can take your mess and make something beautiful out of it. He can rewrite the manuscript. It's called grace. It's called grace. So, God had put seeds inside of me, but then began my own journey of brokenness. When I was 16 years old, I grew up in a Christian family that loved God, that showed me what a relationship with God looked like. It was awesome. But at some point when I was around 16 years old, my parents felt like they couldn't work out their marriage any longer. And I was devastated. I remember the day my dad took all his belongings out of our house. It was painful. And the very week that happened, we had a friend of our family's that was comforting us, had been a friend for years. And he ended up spending the night, and in the middle of the night, he sexually molested me. I know pain, and when you're down and out, people kick you. They take advantage of a vulnerable situation. And little did I know that God was setting me up for my future. He's not the author of sin, but He doesn't prevent every evil thing from happening to us because He sees a redeeming quality that He can bring through a situation and use you for great good in the future for others if you'll trust Him and give it to God. Romans 8:28, I said it earlier, but God works all things together for the good that love God and are called according to His purpose. It doesn't say all the good things or the okay things. It says all things. That means the bad things too. Or what we think is giving us a bad rap in life. Can I tell you that my destiny, I've been launched into my destiny mainly because of all the difficult things I've been through. Not the mountaintop experiences, it's been the lonely valley experiences. And it's in the valley of brokenness that God has taken me and healed me and has launched me to be a voice on behalf of millions of kids around the world. God can use you. Don't think it's just for a pastor or somebody else. But God wants to use you to make a difference. He's equipped you. He's qualified you if you're a child of God. And so that was a painful experience for me, trying to figure out how to deal with all of that. I know what it's like to live in fear every waking moment in my own home, putting furniture in front of my door at night, hoping nothing bad happens to me, and not wanting to sleep because that's when it happened to me. So I moved on from high school. I went to college. I got a degree in architecture from Purdue University. Go Boilermakers. I got to give that plug somewhere. And eventually, after college, I moved down to Atlanta, Georgia for about 5.5 years. And God began to do a healing work in my life, really teaching me how to forgive the people that had wronged me, to see in light of God's grace, not only for myself, but for others. So that I could see clearly and offer the same hope to people that didn't deserve it, just like I didn't. Then the 2008 economy hit, and my architecture firm started struggling financially. We got pay cuts, pay cuts, pay cuts, eventually layoffs, 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 and eventually my name was called. And I had a nice house and a nice car, and I lived a very nice lifestyle in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was like, wow, can life get any better than this? Well, it was going to about get real a lot better. I lost everything. Absolutely everything. I lost my house. I lost my car. I remember putting all of my furniture out on a door on my driveway. And I had like 2 days to get everything out and sell it. And I couldn't sell it. And so I had to just give it all away. I know what it feels like to be at rock bottom, at absolutely nothing's left. And then moving home to my parents' house for the first time in 11 years, my dad and stepmom's. And I lived in their basement for 2 years without a car. And it was at my ultimate low point that God began to speak to me to set captives free. I was like, what are you saying? Set captives free, what does that mean? I said, I need set free. I'm in the worst financial situation of my life. I have nothing to offer you, God, I have nothing. You know what? Sometimes God, all he wants is to offer ourselves to him and let him do the miracles in our life. See, when we come to an end of ourselves and doing things our way, it leaves room for God to do miracles. It leaves room for God to show up and show off his power, just like he did with Joseph and so many other godly men throughout time. And he's about to do it in my life. So I was like, I'd go to church. I'd hear, set captives free. I'd be reading in my own quiet time with God, set captives free. My own prayer time, set captives free. I was like, okay, I get it, but I don't get it. What am I supposed to do? I was like, I have no money. So I started, a friend of mine was like, well, have you ever considered writing a blog and just sharing out of the last 12 years of what God's brought you through? You have a pretty interesting journey. I said, no, I haven't. I ran from writing in college. And so it was just, the thought of that was overwhelming me. But I said, you know what? What do I have to lose? So I started a blog. And within 2 months, it gained a pretty large following. And the largest Christian newspaper company contacted me and said, we found your blog. We love how you write. We feel like what you have to say needs to be told. What would you think about coming on staff and writing for us? And that started my published writing career. I started learning about the issue of human trafficking. And it was so resonated with me through everything I had been through that I wanted to help these kids. I came across this organization, Destiny Rescue, and they would literally go into brothels and bars and red light districts undercover, identify underage kids that are trapped against their will, forced to have sex with men and women, and all kinds of perverted things beyond your wildest imagination. And that they would go in there, rescue them, and bring them back to one of their safe homes where they had a chance to live out their God-given destiny. I said, now that's an organization I want to partner with. I said, how can I help support you? I don't have a lot of money, but I do have writing influence. I would love to write an article on your behalf. And so I found out a short time later that you can take a team trip overseas, a missions trip, and visit their work in Cambodia and Thailand, interact with rescue victims. And so that was my goal, and so I did that. And about halfway through the trip, the founder approached me and said, our writer's leaving the organization. What would you think about coming on staff and writing for us? Well, that came absolutely out of left field. I had never had a desire to live in Southeast Asia, yet alone. Like I mean, at that time, I was trying to go to L.A. I was trying to go to L.A. Through my writing and speaking opportunities. And this just racked my brain. I couldn't even think the rest of the time over there. And I said to the founder, I said, you know what? I'll pray about it. But in my heart, I said no until I got home. And God just kept dealing with me and dealing with me. And I was in my own quiet time reading through the book of Esther. And if you know anything about the story, she was a common woman. Her parents somehow are no longer in the picture. I think they had passed away or something. And she was being raised by her older cousin Mordecai. And the king's wife or the queen at the time, he got mad at her and disposed of her pretty much, said, I'm done with you. And so he sent a decree throughout all the land, bring all the beautiful women, and I'm going to pick one to be queen of all of the land. And so divinely appointed, Esther was chosen. A common woman who had no birthright, authority, anything. Isn't it beautiful how God can handpick us to do things? He chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the proud, the arrogant, the strong. And he chose Esther. And she was in power. She was a very influential woman. But one day, there was an evil man in the kingdom that plotted to kill her people and wipe them off the face of the earth. And she found out about it. Mordecai found out about it. And she was afraid to say something because she had never revealed her lineage to the king. And so she was wrestling in her heart. Well, Mordecai, her older cousin, sends a servant to Esther and says, don't think that you and your family would be safe if you say nothing. But could it be that God has raised you up for such a time as this? And that scripture hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, what are you saying, God? And I felt God was saying to me, I want you to let go of the pen of your life and trust that I can author it. How many of us are holding on and not really letting God author our lives? I want to encourage you, let go. He's way better at it than us. It's scary, it's stretching, but that's the realm where you get to see God do incredible things and you see great fruit happen. So I eventually said, okay, God, I say yes. And I was able to quickly raise the funds to move overseas, and I became our media director worldwide for the organization Destiny Rescue. And so I was able to travel extensively throughout Southeast Asia and work with anti-trafficking police. I worked with our own rescue teams. I interviewed all kinds of people, including anti-trafficking police. Many people, I would go stay in hill tribe villages to understand the type of poverty that they went through. And here's where my story intersects this situation. Two of the leading causes of why kids end up in the sex trade is the breakdown of the family unit and poverty. Hear that. Breakdown of the family unit and poverty. My family broke apart, created a vulnerable situation where I was abused. I had a successful job that lost everything to really no fault of my own. I was a very good financial steward. I saved money. But sometimes when God wants you to learn a lesson, there's no getting out of it. You can try to talk to all the greatest financial gurus. You can do everything right. But if God wants you to go through something, He has a way of bringing it about to where it is the perfect storm that you can't get out of. And so that's what happened to me. I collapsed financially. And I understand to some degree desperate people in desperate times. There was a time in my life where $25 felt like such a mountain. Such a mountain. I was like, I don't have $25. There's no way. And that's what these kids are feeling. That's what these people that we're rescuing, they're coming from these types of environments. And God had to develop in me compassion so that when I saw them and interacted with them and offered them hope, I could somehow relate to them. That I wasn't standing off in some arrogant thing. Just get a job. I used to be that person. Just get a job. Well, you know what? Not every job pays your bills. Not every job is the right job for you, skill set wise or whatever. And there's a lot of hardworking people and a lot of people that have just lost everything through no fault of your own. And I want to tell you, God loves you and He cares about you today. And He cares about every situation you're facing, and He's not blind to it. He loves you. Just like He did me in my mess. And so I want to share with you a story really quickly about two girls in northern Thailand. These girls, one was a 15-year-old girl and one was a 12-year-old girl. They were best friends growing up. The 15-year-old came from this home where the father had died when she was young and the mother remarried. And the stepfather started abusing her sexually. And she was looking for every opportunity to get away from this man. And so one day, this other man enters their village. It was a brothel owner, a trafficker. And he approached this stepfather and said, I want your daughter to come work in my quote-unquote respectable restaurant. The stepfather knew what type of establishment it was, but the young girl did not. And so she jumped at the opportunity to get away from this man who was abusing her. She was so excited at the opportunity, she ran to tell her best friend, who was 12 years old. Her best friend, who's 12 years old, came from a Christian family. The father had hurt his leg, and he could no longer work out in the fields as a farmer, and so they became extremely impoverished. That grass hut you see in the back is a home similar to what they had. I'm actually looking at her home right now in that picture. And the thatched grass roof could no longer keep out the water. And so, if you know anything about Thailand, there's rainy season that lasts for about 6 months. And so, in their house, they could not keep out the water, and it soaked much of the area of their home, which was a 10 by 10 room. The clothes that they had on were the only clothes they wore. They were malnourished. They looked really skinny. And they had like three or four dishes to their name. Can you imagine living in that kind of poverty? And there's no safety nets. There's no safety nets for these people. Like government assistance. Many of these Hill Tribe Village people are stateless citizens. They're fleeing a country that's persecuting them. And they've fled into Thailand. And they're called what are stateless citizens. And they can't get government assistance. They can't get in. They're starving to death. And their kids, these brothel owners, will come and take advantage of their vulnerability. And so these two girls end up going with this man 3 hours away from home, what they thought was a respectable restaurant. The man showed them around where they would be staying, showed them around the restaurant, and then a short time later escorted them out back, shoved them into a shack where they were violently raped for 2 days straight. They were so physically damaged by what had happened to them that the brothel owner sent them home to recover, only to bring them back. They were so ashamed at what had happened to them that they didn't speak up. In Asian culture, and especially certain countries, to lose your virginity is a shame on the family. And many times when these girls are abused, all of a sudden it becomes their fault in the village, and they are the ones that are shamed, not their perpetrator. That's not okay with God. That God is hearing their cries for help, and He's raising up people in our generation to stand up and actually do something. He does not want the body of Christ to stand by and pretend like this doesn't exist when it is alive and well. Slavery is alive and well in our world today. So Destiny Rescue, what happened is these girls, I don't want to get ahead of myself, these girls knew that they were in big trouble, but they were afraid to tell their parents. They had heard that some of their friends had been rescued by Destiny Rescue. So they texted them and said, we need help. And the girls that were in our care went and told our rescue agents. And we dispatched a team and went and rescued those girls out of that horrible situation. And they came back and they're now in our care, thriving and living out their God-given destiny. The one girl who was the 15-year-old came from a Buddhist family. And she saw that the 12-year-old girl was praying to God, saying, God, please save us out of that situation. Within 2 days, our rescue team was there and we saved them. And the older girl said, I want to know the God that you serve. Your God is a God that answers prayer. And she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Hear that. God is using Destiny Rescue. He's using Destiny Rescue to be His hands and feet into a dark world, some of the darkest places on earth. So our mission is to end child sexual slavery worldwide, to end it, to eradicate it from our earth. Our mission is to rescue the sexually exploited and enslaved, to restore the abused, to protect the vulnerable, empower the poor, and to be a voice for the voiceless. We currently work in Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, India, Mozambique, Africa, the Philippines. We're launching in the Dominican Republic within the next year. We have the funding. We're going through the registration process at the moment. And we're expanding into further countries. In the near future, we want to be in Mexico, Brazil, Guatemala. We want to be in Europe. But we have to roll it out in a strategic plan. Our organization is 14 years old. And we're continuing to work hard and move forward, believing that God is going to continue to open doors for us so we can rescue these kids out of these violent situations. We have a goal of rescuing 100,000 children by the end of year 2020. That's huge, but there's that many kids out there. In fact, I'm going to tell you about how big of a problem human trafficking is. It's a global problem. Virtually every single country in the world is affected by the issue of human trafficking as a place of destination, transit, or origin, where they originally came from. In fact, there's 27 million men, women, and children enslaved in our world today. That's more than any other time in human history. It's the fastest growing illegal trade in our world today. The fastest growing. And the reason it will overtake eventually drugs is because you can reuse a person over and over again. Drugs, once it's used, it's done. It's a high commodity. In fact, it's a $150 billion a year industry. They used to think it was $32 billion. They just upped it this last year. They said, nope, we were wrong. It's a $150 billion a year industry. And $99 billion of it is specific to sexual exploitation. Over half of the world's enslaved are women and children. And there's 1.2 million children trafficked each year. 1.2 million. That's not okay. Not on our watch. Not on the church's watch. It's not okay. But yet, how many of you really knew this was going on? How many? In India alone, there's 50,000 children that go missing every year. Many of them get pushed into the sex trade. There's 800 gangs that exist in India with the sole purpose of kidnapping kids and forcing them into the sex trade or begging circles. We're raising funds right now to open a rescue program in India, Mumbai, India, to launch it. That's the only country that we're working currently in that doesn't do rescue at the moment, although we've rescued one child. In the Philippines, where we just launched, there's 60,000 to 100,000 children in the sex trade right now. right now, crying out for help, a better life. We just launched there, and we've already rescued over 11 children in the Philippines. So we rescue the sexually exploited and enslaved. That's what we do. We literally go into brothels and bars and red light districts and identify underage kids. And we rescue them out of that hell, and we'll bring them to one of our safe homes. When I was overseas as our media director, they wanted me to do rescue work, so I had firsthand experience. And so I would work with anti-trafficking police and our own rescue teams apart from the government and police. And this was in a brothel in Bangkok in a place called Nana Plaza. These are two beautiful girls that were available for sex that night, which just breaks my heart because these girls remind me so much of one of my nieces who is now 15, but at the time she was 13 years old. And I just couldn't get that out of my mind. And though that one girl's smiling, she's not smiling. As soon as she turned away from the camera, it's just a cold stone face. They're taught to smile in your presence. The one girl had been in there only a short time and she's scared out of her mind. A couple doors down from this place, in the same Nana Plaza area, about a year and a half ago, we went in, some of our rescue team went into a place undercover and saw that there might be 5 to 10 girls that looked underage in the place. And so we called the anti-trafficking police in because we wanted to try to shut this brothel down. 3 weeks of trying to get it to work where there was no tip-off and all of that happening. And we finally were able to go in and we purchased 2 children for sex. And then the police raided the joint. There was 21 girls that we rescued that night. 19 of them were under the age of 18. The youngest was 13 years old. 13 years old. We rescue kids as young as 5 up to 17 years old. Just this last week, we rescued 5 boys in Thailand between the age of 15 and 16. 5 boys. In Mozambique, last year we rescued 37 boys. The average age boy that we rescued was 10. The youngest was 5. In Thailand, the average age girl that we rescue is 16 years old, but we rescue down as young as 5. In Cambodia, the average age is 15, and we rescue kids as young as 5. I've been to all these places. One place, I was in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and I was doing rescue work with our founder. And we went into this one brothel, and there was no young-looking girls. And that's our target, that's our mission. And so the brothel manager came up to me, she goes, "You have all these women, pick one." And I simply said, "You know what, I'm looking for young girls." Which is really gross, really, to say that. But when you're undercover, you just have to play your part. And so she goes, "Well, we don't have any, but just a second." So she pulled out her phone and started flipping through Facebook. And she was showing me all these younger looking girls. And I pointed to one, and within 5 minutes, that girl was there and available for sex. Hear that. Hear that today. It broke my heart. I sat there and danced with her, and I just sat telling her she's valuable, that she's loved. And I was like, "God, deliver this girl. Deliver these women from these horrific experiences. It's not okay." I could tell you story after story after story of going into these places. When I say that people invent evil, it's unbelievable the evil that's invented in some of these places. Romans chapter 1 through 3 is so right. Inventing new ways of doing evil. Good people don't go to those places usually unless they're in a broken situation. But God wants His people to go in dark places to offer these people hope, to be a light in darkness. And that's what Destiny Rescue does. We work with anti-trafficking police, like I said. Incredible story of working with them. We also work with other organizations like World Vision, IJM, which is International Justice Mission. They're an anti-trafficking organization that puts pressure on governments to change their laws and make them more strict. So we're all playing our part. We work well with other organizations. This picture was actually one of the last days I was living in Thailand. I was working with them. I was asked to go into Pattaya, Thailand, which is the sex capital city of the world. And it's unbelievable the amount of prostitution and underage kids that are trapped in these environments. And I was asked to go in with our team, with a couple other of our rescue teams to identify underage kids, purchase them for sex, and then they were going to raid the place. And it ended up where there were not any young girls in these places. There was a, probably the youngest looking girl was 25 years old, and it really struck me as odd because I was in the same brothel a couple months earlier and there were many underage kids. And so what that said to me is someone's tipping them off. The police are being paid under the table. Someone in the police are they're getting paid. And because it's such a lucrative income and money, it's unbelievable the amount of corruption at all levels of government, at all levels of police. The people that are to be there to support these kids and provide a way out are actually many times the ones enslaving them. And so unless the body of Christ gets involved and bring justice on this earth, evil will continue to expound. God wants us as his people to take action. It's a dangerous work. We've had death threats. We've had guns pulled on some of our team members. You know, they do training and all kinds of stuff, but you just never know. But I've considered the cost. The Apostle Paul said, I consider my life worth nothing, except that I might finish and fulfill and finish the race that Christ has marked out for me. We as the body of Christ need to be able to stand up in the midst of danger, in the midst of darkness, and say, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to do whatever God asks, trusting that his plan and purpose for my life is best, even if it costs me my own life. The Bible says, unless a piece of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. What does that mean? When we let go of controlling our own life, it leaves room for God to multiply the fruit that comes from a yielded and surrendered vessel in his hands. Will you be one of those people that says yes to God? So when we rescue these kids, they come into one of our safe homes. So in every country that we have safe homes where these kids that have just come out of the sex trade that we've rescued, we'll bring them back to a place where they can sleep and be safe many times for the first time ever. They have opportunity. The first 3 to 6 months, there's nothing expected of them except to be healed and made whole. We introduce them to Jesus at every opportunity we can. They get Christian professional counseling that will help them through and navigate the pathway through abuse. When they go through the restoration phase, which is incredible, if they're under the age of 15 and they're ready for the next phase, we will pay for them to get an education. If they're 15 to 17 years old and they've gone through the restoration phase and they're ready for the next phase, we will help them learn a skill or trade. So within Destiny Rescue, they can become a professional certified hairdresser. They'll even get their government certificate. They'll work in one of our training salons where they actually interact with the public under a healthy environment where we can help encourage them, inspire them, give them confidence, and share the worth and value that they are, not only to God, but for themselves just to realize that. They can become a barista, a cook, or waitress and work in one of our training cafes. They can make jewelry. We have jewelry on display back there that has been handcrafted by beautiful young women that we've rescued. That's giving them an opportunity to learn to earn income. They can become a seamstress. So all of our skills-based training is really helping them set up for reintegration so that when they are reintegrated, they can stand on their own two feet and be self-supportive. You see, we're dealing with the root issues. One of the leading causes is poverty. So if we can provide and teach them a skill or trade, or help them go on to college, or be able to support themselves financially, they're steering clear of one of the most at-risk situations, which is poverty. Once we help them learn a skill or trade, we will reintegrate them back into society, and we will walk with them an additional 2 years. So they have access to any of our counselors or staff, our case managers, that will help them if they have conflict issues in their place of employment, will help them navigate those things, or if at any point they would need to come back into our care, that door is always open to them. But ultimately, we want to create healthy, successful young people, introduce them to Jesus, the great physician of their soul, and then help them fulfill their God-given destiny. This is a beautiful girl that I sponsor. Her name is Misa, and she's in our cafe training program to be a chef, culinary arts, and she loves life. She came in one damaged girl, And she's knowing her worth and value in Jesus, and now she's such a leader amongst the girls in our care. And I just couldn't be more excited and happy for her. I just got a letter from her that said that she has a desire to further her education as a chef. So we're going to help her with going to culinary school so that she can fulfill the dream, her dream of becoming a restaurant owner. I had a girl that cut my hair while I was there, and we eventually reintegrated her, and she launched her own salon. And now she employs other rescue girls that have come through our program. And she goes back and tells the girls, stick with it, don't give up. Jesus loves you, and these people love you, and there's better days ahead for you. When you partner with Destiny Rescue, you're partnering with an organization that's bearing much fruit and is sharing the gospel in some of the darkest places in the world. We work in many countries in the 1040 window, which is Christianity's almost non-existent. In Thailand alone, it's 95% Buddhist culture, 2.5% Muslim culture, 0.5% to 1% Christianity. But yet, 80%, I would say, of the girls that come into our care come to Christ. So you're making an eternal difference in the lives of these kids. So we not only do rescue and restore girls in our aftercare program, we help protect the vulnerable, those that are at risk. We do awareness concerts in poverty-stricken hill tribe village areas where trafficking is known to exist, and we will educate the families. We will provide meal assistance to families that are really struggling, and we will pay for the education of kids that can't support themselves to go to school. Many kids and families, their kids don't go to school past the first grade, and they become extremely vulnerable because they can't find work. And so there's really no opportunity. So they try to go out looking for work, and that's when they're really taken advantage of. So we protect the vulnerable. We empower the poor. This girl is from a hill tribe village, a poor hill tribe village that I went to visit while I was our media director. And she was working 8 to 10 hours a day, working for a fern growing plantation. And yet she could barely survive. We came in and offered her a microloan where she started her own fern growing plantation. She made 300 baht a day, which is three times that, which is $10 a day. And she only works 1 hour a day doing that. So we tripled her income, and we 800% reduced the amount of time, or 700% reduced the amount of time it would take for her to earn the same type, a lot more money. So she can take care of her family. She can go back to school if she wants to. She can get another job and earn even more income, which is really setting her up to win. We also partner with other pastors and local communities that can keep an eye on some of these women and families to make sure that everything's going well. And we're a voice for the voiceless. We are speaking up on behalf of millions of kids around the world in the countries, for example, like what I'm doing today. I'm bringing to light this issue, and I'm in one sense, challenging and asking the Holy Spirit to stir your heart. Is this something He wants you to actively get involved in so that you can participate in what God is doing? I love Mark and Sherry have had a heart for this for a long time. They just didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, God brought a divine connection where I came across this path, and He goes, you're an answer to my prayer for years. And it's amazing how God will do that. Is He stirring your heart? Has this been an issue that God's been placing on your heart for a long time? You didn't know what to do? Well, I'm praying that today's that day that you can intersect that destiny that God has you on. The Bible says to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. That's a theme that of God's heart throughout all of Scripture. You can see He wants us to speak up for the poor, the needy, the helpless, those that can't stand up for themselves. And it's no different in our generation and what God's asking of us to do. So while I was overseas and I saw all of this, I got to a point where I had accomplished what God had asked me to do. And I was like, what else do you want me to do, God? We came to a place where we were rescuing so many kids. We tapped out our aftercare program, and we could no longer take on more kids. And yet, I was sitting with kids in the brothels, and we had to say, we have to come back and get you. And someone who had been abused himself, that's not an answer that is okay with me. And so I was like, God, what else can I do? I feel like you're burning in me a desire to do more than what I'm currently doing. And the answer isn't to these kids, we'll come back and get you. The answer is getting the body of Christ involved. And so I was one day just reading in my own quiet time with God. I was reading through the book of Acts, and I came across this passage about Stephen. Stephen is getting ready to be stoned. And he's facing his persecutors. He's going through the lineage of God's people. And he gets to the story of Moses. And Moses flees into the wilderness for 40 years. And this is what the Lord says to him. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I'm sending you back to Egypt." It was like that scripture hit me like a ton of bricks. And I felt God speak to me, "Go back to America and awaken my people to this issue. I've heard the groans and cries of these kids, and I want to deliver them out of the hands of evil people." And so I was like, "Okay, God, I think that's what you're speaking to me. If this is really you, start paving the way." And so I knew one of the next big hurdles was to talk to our founder and see if he was on board with that. And so about a month later, I approached him. And he said, "I love the idea. Where would you like to be?" And I said, "Well, I grew up in Indiana. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've lived for a brief time in LA. And I said, I think LA makes sense for our organization for a number of reasons." He goes, "I love that idea." He goes, "Let me reach out to our U.S. office and see if they resonate with that." He quickly heard back and said, "We've always wanted an office in LA. We've not had the right person put their hand up until now. And so we would love Corey to go back and do that." But, you know, I still was wrestling. Is this really what God has for me? And I was so restless, I ended up having a dream one night, a short time after this. And in the dream, I'm on this roller coaster. And the roller coaster flips way upside down. And while it's upside down, I fall out. And I start, in my dream, just vividly remember free falling. And it looked like I was going to hit the ground. And I wake up. And I said, "I don't receive that dream." I was like, "I rebuke it." I was like, "That was not good. That was not a happy dream." And so 4 days later, I'm in a Thai church in the middle of Thailand. And there happened to be a guest minister from Australia. And the first thing he says when he gets up to speak, it says, "God's highlighted somebody in the audience. They feel like they're free falling. I want to pray for you." And I was like, "Well, I'm not getting up. I can tell you that right now." So I just sat there all calmly, nice and neat in my little old seat. And three different times he stops his message and says, "I feel really strongly I'm to pray for somebody that feels like they're free falling. Don't be afraid. Have the courage." So I lean over to the person next to me in super faith. I said, "I think that's me, but I'm not going up to stand up." And so she goes, "Well, maybe you can go up afterwards and talk to him." And so I said, "That's a brilliant idea. That's exactly what I'm going to do." So I go up to him. He looks right at me. He goes, "I knew it was you. So your time in Thailand's up. God is sending you back to your nation to awaken people to this issue. You're free falling, but you're falling into the hands of Almighty God. And he's going to open doors for you that no man can shut. When you place your hands and your life into the hands of the Creator, it leaves room for him to work a miracle on your behalf and to open doors that no man can shut. And he will bring to pass the very purpose he's created you for. Don't quit and give up when it's hard and when life does not make sense. God is weaving the chapters of your life together in such a way that he's going to create a beautiful masterpiece, a beautiful novel. Don't sell your life short prematurely in a chapter that just doesn't make sense, because God will weave your life together as he has mine." 6 to 8 months ago, I landed here in Southern California, and God's been opening doors ever since. And so I'm here today, speaking up on behalf of millions of children that are crying out for help. You know, people squirm when you ask for something, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm having the courage to say what I need to say, because I'm not going to face these kids one day in eternity and tell them I was too scared to ask. So this is what I'm asking you to do. Is God stirring your heart to get involved? One of the easiest ways you can help is by sponsoring a child. For $35 a month, you can sponsor a child, a rescue child that we've rescued out of the sex trade, so that you can help them see their life restored through Christian-based counseling, all their daily needs, medical needs, everything they need to put their life back together again, and then skills-based training so that we will set their life up to be reintegrated back into society. When you sponsor a child, that's what your money's going towards. 100% of your sponsorship goes overseas. 100%. $35 a month, all of it goes overseas. We have other ways that we fund our offices here in the States. So rest assured, your money is going to good work. It's being sown into good seeds. We've rescued in the last 4 years just under 1,000 kids. And we're on a mission to rescue 100,000 by the end of year 2020. And we're believing God for miracles. Will you partner with us in this venture? I'm asking you to search your heart. If you do, Janelle, can you stand up? Janelle and I are going to be out here at the table in the lobby. We have sponsorship profile cards that you can, there's an envelope inside. We ask that you fill that out if that's something that God wants you to do. You can pay by check. You can pay with cash for your first one, and we can send statements to you. Or you can get it automatically debited from your credit card or debt or checking account via debit. So we provide a lot of opportunities in that way. There's many other ways you can get involved in our organization, but that's the one that Pastor Mark really wanted us to push today. So that's what we're doing. Please come talk to me. If this is an issue that God has stirred your heart, we're asking on behalf of these kids to prayerfully consider partnering with us for $35 a month. So it's less than $1.20 a day. So thank you for listening about the issue of human trafficking. I pray that my story inspired you. I pray that this message brought to light the issue and why the church needs to be involved. So Pastor Mark, please come up and thank you for your time.